All right, tonight, Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2 tonight. I'm going to try to help you and try to help everybody that listens. Try to help everybody that listens understand some things about our Bible. Christmas time is a time of tradition. And, of course, there's a lot of things that goes on throughout the year that's a tradition. A tradition that men have. And men has put together. A lot of things we do in our churches is out of tradition. Nothing biblical. A lot of it is tradition. It's passed down through the years. Coming down the road just this afternoon, I seen a church sign up. Now, they wasn't a Baptist church, but they're a church, and they had a sign up. They're having a candlelight visual for their Christmas Eve party or Christmas Eve service. And that's not doctrinal. It's not anything in the Bible that teaches us to have a candlelit service. That comes and springs off the Catholic Church. And so we don't do that because we're not the Catholic Church. Amen. So a lot of things that was taught down through years, it's tradition and it's not biblical. And one of the things that we find is that the manger scene, and I've mentioned this a time or two before, the manger scene, there's depicted there, there's the baby Jesus in the manger, there's Mary and Joseph, and then there's three kings that sometimes they're called kings, sometimes they're called wise men. Some people call them kings and say that they were sent there because of their they were kings and they needed to be there because King Jesus. And I don't know where they come up with all their theology at, but there's no Bible to back any of that up. And so tonight I'm going to try to share with you what the Scripture says and help you just a little bit dealing with the three wise men. Was there three wise men? No, there was not three wise men. There was more than that was there. And the time frame that they came, you can take the wise men. Well, I'm not going to give it away. I'll hold that till I get to the point in the message. But there's a position for the wise men, and he's been depicted for years in the wrong place. They have their place, but they're put in the wrong place. All right? So that'll give you a little food for thought there. All right, before I get you all good and confused, let's start reading the Bible. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, before we ever get started in verse number 1, we know the time frame that this is taking place. It's in the days, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And then the Bible also says, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, the Bible goes on to say, verse number 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet. You will find that written by the prophet in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. Verse number 6 of Matthew chapter 2 says, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, and Micah chapter 5, verse 2 are similar in the reading. Amen? That's what the prophet said, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. Then Herod, verse 7, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. Now, the Scripture teaches us in the very beginning that these wise men are coming from the east and they come to Jerusalem. When they get to Jerusalem, they find the king. When they find the king, they're inquiring about this child that's called the Christ child, and they're wondering, where is he at? And they begin to ask questions. And so Herod tells them to go to Bethlehem. All right? Everybody see that? And he begins to ask them some questions, inquiring of them about what time did that star appear. He had an ulterior motive. He had a wicked motive. He didn't have a positive motive. He wasn't trying to help them. He's trying to help himself when they asked that question. All right. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now, we know that's a lie. Man, Herod had no intention whatsoever of worshiping Christ. That's not what he wanted to do. And we're going to find out why in just a minute when we read the Scripture. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, watch this now, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. We need to discuss that star just a little bit tonight, too. We'll get back to that in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm trying real hard not to get ahead of myself. We need to discuss that star, because we noticed there whenever they departed the king, they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star. Notice those commas. Which they saw in the east, there's another comma, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Hang on to that thought. We're going to talk about that star in a minute, all right? When they saw the star, there's another comma, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, comma, they presented unto him gifts, semicolon. Everybody see that? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, the reason why tradition teaches as three wise men is because there's three gifts that are listed. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's why they depict those three wise men or three kings, because they bring these gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All right, I'm going to tear that apart here in just a minute. And being warned of God, verse number 12, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So we find as we read this scripture, he wasn't coming to worship him. He wanted to find where he was to destroy him. All right? When he arose, he took the young child, verse 14, and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. And let's just read on verse number 15. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. We'll stop reading verse 16. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege once again tonight to be in your house. Thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be at the house of the Lord tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help me illuminate my mind, guard my lips, and help me, Lord, to say all that's well pleasing tonight in your sight. I pray, God, you give us open hearts, open minds, Lord, to understand the Scripture, what's being taught and said here in these verses of Scripture, Lord, tonight. We'll thank you, Father, and praise you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, verse number 1, we find that Jesus was born, and this was prophesied some 700 to 800 years before time. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Scripture says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That was 700 to 800 years before Christ ever came on the scene. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And so this was prophesied. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17 and verse 19 also prophesied the birth of Jesus Christ. He is coming. There is a Messiah, and he's coming to forgive the people of their sins, forgive man of their sins. All right? So we know that he's coming, know that the virgin is going to conceive and bear a son. Now, this is unheard of. Nobody's ever heard tell of such a thing, of a virgin conceiving and having a child. How in the world can a virgin have a son? That's the miraculous work of God. Amen. So there were scoffers about his first coming, just as there are scoffers about his second coming. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 3 and 4, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. As they were silenced at the first coming, they're going to be silenced at the second coming. Amen? They can scoff all they want to. All right, so we look at this passage of Scripture and talking about the wise men, and we're going to talk about the star and about the travel time and all that takes place. King Herod, as I said, was a wicked king. He was a descendant of Esau. Herod being king reflected the conflict between good and evil. It also shows the conflict between God and the devil. Amen? And it also shows the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. All right, we find that in the scriptures we study that Herod was a brutal king. In his quest for absolute power, he had one of his wives and some of his sons and other relatives murdered. Had him killed. I mean, he was brutal and he had no thought for that. Amen? It didn't matter to him. He killed people. Scripture has recorded his slaughtering of all male children under 2 years of age, we find in verse number 16, in his effort to kill Christ. So now let's think about that for just a moment. Here is Herod, and he begins to talk to these wise men that came from the east, and he asks them, They have come to worship the Lord. Verse number 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with them. And he, when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. How did they know that? Because it was written in the Word of God. Amen. They knew that because it had been penned down, had been written as a prophecy that the Messiah was coming, and he was coming out of Bethlehem. All right? So they find that out through Scripture. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he brings the wise men together and he inquires of them diligently of what time the star appeared. And so no doubt the wise men begin to tell Herod about the time that the star appeared. I don't believe that was December 25th, as I said before. I believe it's late September, early October, that Christ was born. That's when they saw the star appear. Now, here's the thing that's miraculous about the star. I don't want to burst too many bubbles, but I'm really good at popping bubbles. I'll just be honest with you. It's not really me, it's the Bible. Amen. It tears tradition all to pieces. And we've studied and we've followed tradition for so many years. We haven't studied and we follow tradition for so many years. And a lot of us because it's been taught in school. Amen. We've heard of this star and it's all about that big star and put big stars on top of the Christmas tree because of the star that led the wise men all the way to Jesus Christ. Well, I've got some sad news for you. That star did not lead the wise men all the way to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the wise men saw his star in the east. Those wise men were wise. They're called magi, which is a Greek word for wise men, from where we get our word magician. All right? And so they were studiers of astrology, the stars. They studied the sky and all the things. Do you think for one moment those guys didn't know where Jerusalem was at? They're wise men, for heaven's sake. Amen? And they know what they're doing. They study that kind of stuff. So, no doubt they knew that where Jerusalem was. The miraculous thing about the star is that when Jesus Christ was born, way over there in the east, which is believed to be the Persian lands or the Arabian lands, many, many, many thousand miles away, there's a star that appears over there in the east, and it appears to the wise men, miraculously. That thing just appears. Now, scientists have tried to prove what that star was, where that star come from, how that star come about. They used to be down in Raleigh. You could go down to the planetarium down there and you could go in and they had the Bethlehem star at Christmas time. You could go in and they would show you a 30-minute, 45-minute show of the star. They would lay you back in the seats. It was really cool too. It was dark and the stars and you'd have to stay awake, you know, but it was very easy to pass out and go to sleep, but it was very comfortable and they'd show you a show, give the show of the Bethlehem star and try to explain that star. And they would explain all these scientific facts and all these scientific things that happen and how a star comes about and how all these things work. And at the very end of the show, they would tell you, we absolutely have no idea how that star in Bethlehem came about. It was a supernatural phenomenon. Amen? Nobody can explain it. It just shows up. Amen? So the star shows up as a supernatural phenomenon in the east and the wise men see it. Alright? They came from, wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star. You notice that in your Bible? It's labeled there. It's named his star. It was a supernatural star that only shone for one purpose and for one reason. That one purpose and that one reason was because of Christ and his birth. Amen. It's his star in the east and are come to worship him. All right? Now, just stay with me with the star. We'll get back to that in just a minute. But we find as these wise men come, and they're dealing with Herod and talking with Herod, and Herod's trying to figure out, hey, when did this thing appear? And they begin to talk, begin to tell him, and he begins to work in his mind some wicked deeds and things he's going to do. Now, to remove the wise men from the manger scene is to understand your Bible. They traveled from the east, and they didn't have a Lamborghini to ride in. Amen? They didn't have a Rolls Royce. They didn't have a fast train or nothing. They didn't have an airplane. Amen? They had to do that by foot or by donkey or by mule or whatever they had that would carry them and carry all their stuff. Now, these wise men are found in the book of Daniel, and you'll find there in the book of Daniel, chapter number 2, verse 48, we find that these wise men, those that study the stars, interested in the stars, and Daniel was the head of such a group, and King Nebuchadnezzar had made Daniel head over such a group. Amen? And they were of the priestly order of men who did the study of the stars. And so that priestly order of wise men had servants. And those servants had servants. Amen? And they had people that protected them. Not only did they have people to do for them, but they had people that would protect them. Amen? Y'all with me? So the three wise men, they couldn't have been just three wise men because they had their servants, they had those that protected them, and they had other people that was along with them, their family, whatever else that came along with them. So there's obviously more people than just three men. They were not kings. The Bible never calls them kings. Amen. The songwriter wrote the song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." The Orient means from the east, but they were not kings. That's tradition. That's not Bible. Amen. All right, moving on. Have a good time tonight. We take the wise men, we take them away from the manger scene, because whenever Herod asked the question about when was this child born, when did you see this star? And they begin to tell him, Jesus, by the time the wise men get from the east to Jerusalem, he's nearing the age of 2 years old. And Herod has figured this out by talking to the wise men and their journey from the time they saw the star until the time they get to Jerusalem. It's been a pretty good time. It's a pretty good walk. Could you imagine walking for almost 2 years to get somewhere? Boy, that, you're talking about some dedication. Amen. You're talking about some faith, and there's a lot that goes into that. The integrity of the wise men, they're going, they're dedicated to go see this Christ child because they saw a star in the east. Now, I don't believe that star led them all the way. I don't believe that. We can argue about that if you want to. I don't really want to. But anyway, I just don't believe that. Bible doesn't teach that. Amen. They saw it in the east. They left. They come to see this Christ child. And when they get there, verse number 9, when they heard the king, the things that he had to say, they departed. And lo, what's this? The star, which they saw in the east, went before them. There it is. The star appears there in Jerusalem and takes them to Bethlehem where the child was. Amen. That's good preaching, good teaching right there. Hope you can get a hold of that. That'll help you. Amen. Why does it make any difference about the star preacher? Well, because the Scripture just don't teach the traditions that we follow. The song that you guys sung this morning, my mother sung that song for years, "A Beautiful Star of Bethlehem," and guides us through the night and all. That star doesn't guide us through the night. It guided the wise men to Jesus, and after that it disappeared. It was a supernatural phenomenon. Right. Hello, amen. Having a good time, aren't we? Amen. So is that song scriptural? No, that song's not scriptural, but we sing it. And my mother, as I said, she sung it for years. But that star doesn't guide us. Now, I know the songwriter's trying to twist the words and get us to thinking that Christ is the one that guides us through the night and He's the shining light. But take the emphasis off the star and put it on the Savior. Amen? That's the way the devil likes to work. He likes to put the emphasis on the wrong thing, not on Jesus. Good preaching right there. Amen. All right, moving on. Everybody still good? All right. Need an aspirin? If I get if we had to make a choice of when Christ would be born, we would all make a choice that Christ would have been born at a better time. Because at the time He was born, Herod was ruler, he was king, and he was wicked, and they wanted to destroy anything that had anything to do with God. If we had the choice, we'd make it a difference. We'd have chosen a safer time for Christ to have been born. But that's not the case. God likes to, He delights to work when opposition's at its greatest. Amen. Amen. God likes to work when opposition's at its greatest. Amen. Amen. When things were not safe, when things were not good for Christ to be born, that's when God chose to have Him born. Right. I'm telling you, you better watch God. Amen. things don't seem to be going real good right now, but God likes to work. He delights to work when things are at their worst.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's encouraging.
Amen.
Moses was born when all the babies, the boy babies, was ordered to be killed by Pharaoh. That's when Moses was born. They often say and make fun, I guess, or crack jokes, whatever, say that Moses was a basket case. Because they put him in a basket and sent him down the river. Anyway, it wasn't a good time for him to be born because he was born whenever they was killing all baby boys. And then Israel crossed the Jordan. We've talked about this many times in the book of Joshua. They crossed the Jordan when Jordan was at its flood stage. God delights to work when opposition's at its greatest. Amen. Jesus waited till Lazarus was dead 4 days before he came to see him. And let me just go and throw this in there. Jesus was not 4 days late.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus was right on time.
Amen.
Amen. He's always on. He's never late. He's always on time.
Amen.
But there we find that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And God delights to work when opposition's at its greatest. God likes to move when things are right. When in the case of Lazarus, let me say this, he'd been dead for 3 days and all the local family and folks that knew Lazarus and the family would come together. But on the fourth day, people from all around would be able to come in from out of town and from out of state or wherever they come from, and there'd be a bigger crowd there. God knows what He's doing. Amen. Here we see that Christ was born just a few miles away from a brutal ruler named Herod. This would let evil know that God, in His weakness, can overcome evil at its strongest. Amen? Christ was only a babe. Herod was an adult. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. He was a grown man. Christ is only a babe. Amen? The darkest of our days and the worst of our circumstances are absolutely no problem with our God. Amen. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Matthew 19:26, for with God all things are possible.
Amen.
Amen. There's nothing too hard for our God in our darkest of days. Here we see the scene that's going on when Jesus is born. It's not the greatest of times for Him to come on the scene, but that's when God chose to bring Him on the scene. Note that the wise men, tradition says there's three and they were kings. We do not find that in Scripture. We don't find them. We see them most of the time in manger scenes, but we don't find that in Scripture. Amen. Jesus was almost 2 years old, so He's out of the manger. He's a young boy. He's probably up walking around chasing cattle and snakes and whatever else they had down in there. Amen. Frogs or whatever. Amen. Being almost 2 years old. Notice verse number 8 and 9, if you would. Verse number 8, the Bible says, and He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. Verse number 9, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse number 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. Amen. Verse number 13, again, for Herod, there's the latter part of the verse, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. So it wasn't a babe lying in a manger. It was a young child. Amen. That's just Bible. I know I'm tearing tradition all the pieces, but I'm just giving us Bible. Amen. I don't get mad and throw stones at people that have a manger scene set up, have a nativity scene set up, but that's tradition. Is it right for us to do that? Well, we're spreading this thing before people to teach them that we believe that the wise men, the three kings, were there. So might not spread those things if you don't believe it. Amen. Just saying. Amen. As I said to the knights, either love me or hate me. Amen. I'm just that's just the way it's going to be. The wise men were not kings because the Scripture says they were wise men. And that word wise men, as I said, is a Greek word that means it's the same as magi, in which we get our word magician, and that's what they were. They were the studiers of stars, a priestly order of men who were interested in the study of stars. And so there's no doubt there was more than three because these men required servants to assist them and they also required soldiers to protect them during their travels. They couldn't just three men get on a camel and ride across country for almost 2 years without protection, without servants. Amen? Sometimes a little logic comes into play. Sometimes you think about that thing, so that don't really make a whole lot of sense. You know, how's these three men going to make it all the way across that land that far away? Well, the Lord was with them. Well, yeah, but they got to eat. They got to be protected. Amen. So anyway, no doubt there was more of them. From the east means, as I said a while ago, means from the Arabian or the Persian lands. So we know that was a long time. That shows their dedication to see Christ. That's their dedication to see the Lord. They've heard, they've seen His star, and they spent all this time diligently searching for Him. Boy, what it would be in our day if people diligently searched for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hear about the Lord and seek Him. And the Bible teaches we're to seek Him while He may be found. Amen.
Amen.
Tradition portrays three men because of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All right? But Scripture says they brought treasures, gifts, semicolon, and the gold, and the frankincense, and the myrrh. Those three were just parts of the items that they brought.
Right.
All right? Let's look in our Bibles in verse number 11. When they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. Wait a minute. Let's back up. When they came into the house, they see the young child and they see Mary. But did they worship her? Boy, that tears up Catholicism right there. Amen. They didn't worship Mary. They didn't bow down to Mary. They didn't say, Hail Mary. Amen. The Bible says they saw Mary. They saw the young child with his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Amen. And when they opened their treasures, notice that's plural. You see the S on the end of that word, treasure? When they opened their treasures, that's plural, they presented unto Christ gifts. They presented their gifts unto Him. They brought gifts to give Him. These wise men are loaded. Amen. And they come bearing gifts. And a part of those gifts was gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, it's believed that within these gifts, these three gifts are mentioned because they represent something. Myrrh represents His death. Whenever someone is buried, they put perfumes. Whenever the women came to the tomb of Christ, they came bringing spices and ointments to anoint Him. So myrrh was given there to represent His death. We find that the gold represents His deity. It represents the deity of Christ. And in frankincense, it represents the incense or the intercessory of Christ. So all these things have meaning to them. Amen? They knew what they was doing whenever they did it. But all that men would believe Scripture, not the traditions of men. Amen? Amen. Having a good time tonight.
Amen.
So we find here that these gifts were brought, and we're going to talk about those gifts in just a moment, that they brought their treasures and gifts. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken in Scripture, that's two different things. There's treasures and there's gifts.
Right.
Within those gifts are the gold and frankincense and myrrh. But what's in the treasures? Well, I bet you they brought them an offering. They must have been good Baptists. Amen. They took up an offering before they left. Verse number 2, the Bible says where, the wise men asked the question, where was Christ born? Not if He was born, but where He was born. That shows the great confession of their faith. It wasn't a hearsay, it wasn't a hope so that they could find Him. They knew He was born because they'd seen the star, they'd heard the Scripture. They knew that God had given a promise, and so they said, where is He born? Men from a far country who didn't have the Hebrew Scriptures but a sign from heaven and a fragment of a revelation passed on to them over the centuries and over time and over prophecy, travel all that way and demonstrate faith to find the Christ child. Those who had the Scriptures showed no faith at all. Well, that's the way it is a lot of times in our day. Amen. People that know the truth, they don't have any faith.
Right.
They know the Scripture. They know what God says. Anyway, that's another message. I'm moving on. Well, it just shows the wise men, and they were wise for what they did, and they had strong faith, dedicated faith. Now, I got four things that I've pinned together to help you a little bit tonight on what made those men wise. Well, they studied the stars. No, something else made them men wise. First of all, what made them wise was where they was going. Where were they going, preacher? Well, they were going to worship the King. Well, I'm telling you, it takes a lot of wisdom to go worship the Lord. Amen. There's wisdom in that. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. When they come on the scene, they're saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.'" These men were wise because of where they were going. Going to worship the King. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 40, verse number 1 and 2, David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." If you meet the Lord, he will establish your goings. Amen. Establish means to set and to fix permanently. There's no changing direction. Once you meet the Lord and you know Him personally, on a personal basis, there's no changing directions. How am I going to heaven? Amen. Ain't no changing directions. Amen. We're going to heaven. Amen. So that's that word established. I'm glad I'm established in my goings. Amen. They were wise because of where they were going. They were wise because of what they were seeking. What were they seeking? They were seeking Jesus Christ. The Christ child, the one who would take away the sins of the world. Nobody in our day seems to be seeking Christ. It seems like in our day nobody cares about the church. Nobody cares about anything to do with God.
Amen.
They're not seeking after Christ. There's none righteous, no, not one. And there's none that seeketh the Lord. Romans chapter 3 verse 11, the Bible says, there's none that seek the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves."
Amen.
Love themselves more than they do the Lord. Nobody seems to be seeking the Lord. Even the Bible says there's none that seek the Lord. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 25, the Bible says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, the soul that seeketh Him." He's good to them. Amen. They're wise for seeking the Lord. John chapter 1, verse number 38, "What seek ye?" is the question that was asked in the Scriptures. What seek ye? Well, that's a good question to ask ourselves, isn't it? What are we seeking? Are we seeking the Lord? Are we seeking to please the Lord? Amen. The wise men were seeking this Christ child for a reason. They wanted to bring their treasures, bring their gifts, amen, and come and worship the Lord. We come to church, we come to worship Him. Amen.
Amen.
Come to worship your pastor. Listen, I'll say that because I've seen many people come to church because of the pastor.
Right.
And that pastor, boy, he can never do no wrong. He's the holiest man that ever put shoe leather on. And I mean, they just worship the pastor. That's absolutely incorrect. That's wrong.
Amen.
I mean, I know some people that worship their pastor whenever he died and went off the scene. They got out of church because they didn't have nobody to worship. That's awful. Amen. That's good preaching right there too. Don't worship. We didn't come to worship the pastor. We didn't come to worship the deacons. We didn't come to worship the song leader. We didn't come to worship nobody but the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It's all about Him. So they was wise in where they was going. They was wise in what they were seeking. Then they was wise in who they worshiped. They were coming to the house and they saw the young child with Mary his mother and they fell down and worshiped Him. The Scripture never teaches us to worship Mary. The Scripture never teaches us to pray to Mary or to bow down to Mary. But Christ alone is to be worshipped. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 29. "Give unto the Lord the glory, do His name, bring an offering, and come before Him, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness." Psalms 34 and verse 1, the Bible says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Amen. They was worshiping Christ. And we're to worship Him, not Mary. Amen. Not Buddha.
Amen.
Not Muhammad. No other God. There's no other God. There's no other name. Amen. Except our God. Bless His holy name. Now, some of y'all look at me like, "Preacher, why in the world are you preaching that?" This goes out on World Wide Web. Amen. There's people across our world that don't know that. They're worshiping some pagan god, some deity that says that it has power, some sun god or some river god or some goat god or whatever kind of god they come up with. The Bible teaches us we're to worship one and His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
"I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. They were wise for who they worshiped. Then, let me give you this. This is good missionary stuff right here. They were wise in what they gave. Again, in verse number 11, we find there in the Scriptures, they said when they come in, they've seen the young child and his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures. Now, at Christmas time, we open our treasures. We have gifts. Amen? People give gifts. People give treasures. And we open them because we do that because we love someone. Amen. The reason they gave to Christ is because they love the Christ child and they worshiped Him. We don't give gifts because we worship somebody. Amen.
Amen.
We give gifts because we love them. Amen. And we open up our treasures. And on Christmas Day, we sit around as family and we open up our gifts and we rejoice and joy together because of the love that we has nothing. Absolutely nothing to do with the gifts that we receive, but it has everything to do that with the love that we receive and that we give. Amen. It's all about love and loving one another. It has nothing to do with gifts. I've tried to teach my children it's not about the gift. 2 and 3 year old, they play with the box anyway. Leave the gift on the table and play with the box. But it has nothing to do with the gift, and I've raised my children to teach them. It has nothing to do with what somebody gives you. If somebody don't have to give you, if they love you, that's good enough. Amen. But what they gave, notice what they gave, they fell down and worshiped before they gave their gifts, before they opened their treasures. The thing that the wise men gave Christ before they ever opened their treasures were themselves. The Bible says they bowed down, fell down, and worshiped Him. Before we ever open up our wallet, we're to worship Him. Amen. Before we ever try to do anything for God, we're to worship Him. If we give of ourselves to Him, everything else we have is His anyway.
Right.
Amen. And we'll freely give whatever He asks for. Amen. They worshiped before they gave their gifts. They gave of themselves. When you give of yourself in worship, you will give of your substance in worship. I know I probably said this before, and we'll say it again though tonight for the sake of the message, but giving is a part of worship. Amen. Giving is a part of worship. It's better to give, the Bible says, than it is to receive.
Amen.
Giving is a part of worship. Preacher, there you are on money again. I'm just trying to help you. If you want to be blessed by God, amen, just be obedient in your giving.
Amen.
Give it yourself and you won't have a problem with giving.
Right.
Amen. Get yourself out of the way and everything else fall right in line. Amen. When the wise men left all their gifts, notice verse number 13. They'd opened their treasures and left all those gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. But look at verse number 13. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, as we study this passage of Scripture, you find nowhere that the angel of the Lord has spoken to Joseph other than take the mother and go to Bethlehem, go to Jerusalem, amen. He had to get her there so she could be delivered. We understand that, but nowhere do we find in Scripture where Joseph had been told by the Lord or anybody else that he needed to go down to Egypt. You don't find it anywhere in Scripture. The wise men didn't know that Joseph had to go to Egypt. They didn't. Nobody had shown anything to them, told them anything. An angel didn't appear to the wise men to tell them, hey, listen, you need to take a bounty with you when they go because we're going to send Joseph down to Egypt. That's not in Scripture. They wasn't told that. The thing about the wise men, the reason they were wise because of where they were going, who they were seeking, who they were worshiping, and what they brought. I believe, now, you don't have to agree with this if you don't want to. I have no Bible to back this up except for what I'm telling you. I believe they gave as unto the Lord. I believe when they loaded up and they suited up, began to go to see Christ, they took everything that they could to give to Christ. Their treasures, their gifts, whatever they could bring, they was going to give it to Him because He's Christ. Because that's a part of worship. Alright? Everybody with me? Got that settled now, alright? So now that they've distributed all these gifts and their treasures, I believe the treasures to be financial gain. May not be right. It may have been jewelry or whatever else, but it was something of value. So now we find that the Bible says that an angel has appeared unto Joseph in a dream saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. if my memory serves me correct, if I studied my scriptures right, I believe they had come to where they were because they was coming to pay a tax. Am I right? So no doubt they probably didn't have a whole lot of money. Matter of fact, they couldn't even get into the motel. Amen. Said the motels was full, there's no room in the inn. Didn't really know if they could afford such a thing or not. But now they've got to make a trip to Egypt. That's going to cost. Not only is it going to cost, there's another mouth to feed. We've got to feed the baby now. We've got to feed the donkey or whatever it's going to carry us. Or maybe two of them if we can find two of them to take them. Whatever it is going to take to get them to Egypt, the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph and says, take Mary and go to Egypt, and you've got to stay there to avoid the killing of Herod. So now not only do they got to make the trip, but then when they get there, they got to find a place to stay. And then they've got to have stuff to eat to keep them alive until Herod dies. It's been an expensive trip. It's amazing how the wise men were wise enough to bring enough stuff to Joseph and Mary without even knowing what the plan was.
Amen.
Right. Isn't that amazing? God, in His foreknowledge, amen,
right,
laid it upon their heart to give of their treasures and their gifts to take care of the bounty, the need for Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus.
Right.
To take care of the expenses, to take care of the food, to take care of the room and board, whatever they needed, it was settled. God had done paid the bill. Whoop! God done took care of the need through the wise men. Well, that encouraged my heart when I studied it, and still encouraged me today. God always provides for His children. God provides for you and me, amen? God provides for His children. Whenever missionaries come through, and I know we've seen quite a few of them here recently, and we'll probably see a lot more between now and the rapture, amen? But whenever they come, God lays it on our heart to do something. Don't ever quench the Spirit and not do that. They may be a need that arises that they don't know about, and you don't know about, but God knows about it, amen? That's why He puts it on your heart to give. And you give, and then whenever that need arises, and it's like, wow, God took care of that. Isn't that amazing? That's just the way He works. Amen? That's just the way He does things. He speaks to my heart. He speaks to your heart. And we give, and we take up a bounty, and we do those things because we love God, and we love God's people, and we want to be a blessing. And God uses that to meet the needs for others whenever sometimes they don't even know they have it. Sometimes we find ourselves, I'm running off on missions right quick, it'd be alright, I got a minute to do that. Sometimes we ask the missionaries and we ask the people, you have any needs, anything we can pray about, anything we can help you with? And a lot of times the missionaries will get up just like Brother Howard got up, Alverson, and talked about the building in Scotland, and they need 50-something, 60-something thousand dollars to finish paying it off. Well, they know they need that. What about that thing down the road they don't know they need? Hey man, who's going to be there to help them with that? Well, you and I can't travel with them. We can't stay on the phone with them all the time. But God can. God knows what they need. Amen. That's why it's so vitally important for us when it comes to giving of ourselves. When we give of ourselves, a part of myself includes... Hold on, let me show you what that includes. A part of giving myself, not only my heart and my mind, but it includes that thing right there. And let me show you. You'll love this. There's no money in it. It stays that way. Because my money's in my front pocket. But giving of ourselves includes giving of our finances. Giving of our... Hey, listen, it don't have to be anything. Well, preacher, I don't have but a dollar. Give that dollar if God puts it on your heart to give it. And watch what God does with it. God can take a little mite from a widow woman, amen, and work miracles. He can take a little meal in a barrel and feed a family for a long period of time. God can work miracles. So we find that they was wise not only in who they worshipped and where they were going, but what they gave. They gave this trip to help Mary and Joseph to make this trip, and no doubt it was an expensive trip. Where God guides, God provides.
Amen.
Amen. The wise men didn't have no idea about the trip. That shows the providential hand of God. God was in what they were doing. And I can promise you, if you give and you be obedient to God, God's in it. You won't outgive God.
Right.
You'll never outgive God.
Right.
We don't give to get. Amen. Is everybody with me? We don't give it to get it back. But you give it and it goes forth. The Scripture teaches, I believe I read it on Wednesday night, that the stone that we roll back upon us. And we're talking about the tongue, the things that we say. Whenever hurt people and think, but that goes the same way. You reap what you sow. That's Bible. You reap what you sow. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully.
Right.
Hey, man.
Amen.
If you give, God will give back to you. Amen. He blesses
right.
you. It might not be, if I give $100, I might not get $100 back, but I might save $100 and I have to go to the hospital. That officer might not write me a ticket and save me $150. Amen. Whatever the case may be. Just because we give, we don't expect to get it back, but God always blesses. Always. Amen. You can never outgive God. Brother Howard was standing up here and is asking 100 churches to give $1,000 apiece. Boy, that'd be good if 100 churches could give $1,000. Pay for that building, they could go on and get over there and get started. Souls could be saved. Lives could be changed. What's the value of one soul? Well, a whole lot more than $1,000, I'm sure. Amen. So those things we pray about and we seek the Lord. Amen. And ask God if He would allow us to be a part of that. I like to be a part of stuff like that. That's why we have a little jar of New Mexico dirt. Cost us, we gave $500. And that church is still thriving today. Souls are being saved. Lives being changed. They build a big old arbor. That's the word I'm looking for. They build a big old arbor down there. And it's called the Southeastern or Southwestern Camp Meeting Arbor or something like that. Anyway, they have a big meeting, bring people in, have a big meeting down there and try to encourage folks. And anyway, doing a great work down there just because we're a little part of that. Every time somebody gets saved, whenever you give the missions, every time somebody gets saved in that ministry, you get credit for that.
Right.
That's credit to your account. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Moving on. I got off on money. Wise men were wise because of where they were going. They was going to worship Christ. They was wise in what they were seeking. They was seeking the Christ child. They was wise for who they worshiped. They worshiped Christ and none else. Amen. They were wise because of what they gave. They gave of themselves and then they gave of their substance. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Would you consider yourself to be wise in who you're seeking? Would you consider yourself to be wise in who you worship? Would you consider yourself to be wise in where you're going? When we leave this world and go to the next, will we consider ourselves to be wise if we think about where we're going? Don't think it's very wise to say, I'm headed to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Not very wise. Would you consider yourself wise in what you give? If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. And to be wise in your giving and giving of yourself, you give everything you have. Give all of yourself. Don't just give a part of yourself. Get all of yourself. Amen? When it comes to worshiping the Lord, just go all in. Amen? Just go all in. Give it everything you got. Whenever I was young, my mother graciously sent me to swimming lessons. And I'll just go ahead and testify and tell you I failed. But anyway, that deep water scared me. I was a little guy and I could float like a boat. I mean, I'd get over there and where I could touch the bottom, I'd float all the way across. I could swim all the way across. I could do jumping. I could whatever they asked me to do. As long as I could touch the bottom, I could do it. Because I knew if I messed up, I could get myself back up. So they told me one day, they said, we're going to take you down here to the deep water, and we want you to swim. I said, you've lost your mind. There ain't no way. Well, you swim great. You can do it. No, there's a difference. No, there's not. It's the same water down there. No, it's not. It's the difference. So they took me down there to that deep water, and I'm hanging on to the edge like a dying man. And I won't let go for nothing. And they said, you've got to let go of the rope. I said, I don't either. Well, it wasn't a rope. I was actually hanging on to the ladder. And they kept telling me, said, you've got to let go. You've got to swim out. Just swim out there. Turn around and come back. It won't take 5 minutes and you'll have it over with. You'll pass your course and you can go to the house if you want to. I can't let go of the ladder. They said, just go all in. Just give it everything you got. Go all in and go out there and turn around and come back. And I couldn't do it. What happened was I tried. I finally got tired of hearing their mouth. And so I tried, but I didn't give it everything I had. I'd done give up before I ever got started. I was defeated before I ever kicked off. And I got about a third of the way out there and started bubbling up or down. I was going down fast. But I'd done made my mind up I couldn't do it. And I said all that to say this, if you make your mind up you can't do it, you won't do it.
Right.
But if you're going to serve the Lord, just give it everything you got. Just go all in. Amen. Give it all. Hallelujah. That's good preaching right there. Give it all. Amen. Give all of yourself and just see what God does with it.
Right.
Amen. Look what He did with the wise men. Those guys walked for days, miles, months, weeks went by just to seek the Lord. Not just because they wanted a name for themselves, but just so they could give Him what they had. Give of themselves and give of their treasures. And then look what God did with that. Absolutely amazing. Amen. It's amazing what we do if we just follow the Lord. Now, tonight I have destroyed the Bethlehem Star. I have destroyed the wise men and the kings at the manger scene. As a matter of fact, Jesus was almost 2 years old whenever the wise men show up. So that tears all that to pieces. I have destroyed Catholicism. They didn't worship Mary. They didn't bow down to Mary. They fell down and worshiped Christ. So I've destroyed a lot of things, but I've lifted up the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He said, if I'll be lifted up, amen. There you go. Draw all men unto Him. That's exactly right. So, nobody's mad. Everybody's happy. Jesus is happy. Amen. And we've done some Bible study. Got that taken care of tonight. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the